Welcome to WCCO's Center Stage, All Things Arts and Entertainment. That's right. If you've been listening to Steel Talking for years, you know this is the layup. 9 o'clock hour, All Things Arts and Entertainment. And we've got some great guests for you tonight. We're going to start out with the lead theater critic from the Star Tribune, Rohan Preston. Hey, what's up, you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm great, man. Did you go to see Wicked?
I did.
I was looking for you. You probably had that seat way down at the front.
Well, no, it wasn't too far down, but it was, but you know, it was interesting though because this show is so polished. Obviously, I mean, it's been out for quite some time,
right.
But it's so polished, and they were having so much fun. I was just looking at all the sort of the intricacies, and you know, I know it well, so I was anticipating things and look, and the joy was there, and I really, every time I go to a show, it's like that old commercial, Calgon, take me away, you know?
Yeah.
This show took me away, you know? It took me away.
Oh, wow. I tell you, they sang so many songs. How many songs were in it? Do you know?
You know, I don't know offhand.
Are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me? I think it's a couple of dozen songs. Uh-oh.
Okay, and I tell you, these people sang. Can you hear me, Rohan?
I can hear you just fine. Thank you.
Okay.
So here's the thing. I can hear you just fine.
Great. Here's the thing. I am amazed at my memory not connecting to the last time I saw Wicked, which was the first time I saw Wicked. This show seems different to me, with different people and different characters. You know, I expected to see the same person I saw in Wicked the last time, which is ridiculous. It was here a long time ago. How many years ago was it here?
Well, it's been here now. This is the sixth time, number six here.
Right.
03. Yeah.
Right. But I'm saying the one that I saw years ago was so different from what I remember of what I saw just the other night. But it was fantastic. I mean, it was really amazing. And they sang their hearts out. They acted their house out. And the monkeys were fine as they wanted to be. I couldn't see that close up, but I just need you to know they were fine as they want to be. Tell me what you thought about it.
You know, I was taken away. I mean, it was a beautiful, beautiful production. And you know, I always love it when they're so comfortable that they just have fun and play with it. And that's what they were doing. They were just in their element. There were no understudies that I saw that night. It's the young people who are in the lead. They probably were babies when this stuff started, you know?
Right. That's very true. I didn't think about that. Well, here's the thing. I keep wondering, every time Wicked comes on, that when I get a chance to see it and I get a chance to be in the audience, I'm really grateful. And I brought my 5-year-old granddaughter. Five.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Nope. My 9-year-old, the oldest. Sorry. And she looked so beautiful and so regal. She got so many compliments. But when that show started, when it first just opened up and the show began, this child was going, "Oh my gosh, Grandma!" And I felt pretty good, man. I'm like, "Well, see, you're gonna have to do this. You're gonna be the granddaddy that's gonna do all of that, taking them to see shows." So it was packed that night, and I hope it sells a lot for its whole run. How long would they be here in the Twin Cities?
5 weeks.
Five weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Listen, this show, this is the sixth time here. Each time it's come, it's 100,000 people go see that show.
Wow. So, oh, wow.
100,000. And that's likely to be the case again here. And, you know, it's like Defying Gravity. I mean, all the songs, popular. What I did for the paper, we interviewed three diehard fans of the show. They're who are teenagers. All of them are 15. And it was pretty amazing because they have seen the show, and more importantly, they listen to the soundtrack all the time. And so you have this kind of love and knowledge of this production, which is what you see in the audience there, and which is why it is here for 5 weeks.
Right. You know, when I first told you I went to go see Wicked for the first time here at the Orpheum years ago, I said to you, I want to be Elphaba. How do you pronounce it? Elphaba.
Elphaba.
Yeah, whatever it is. Hey, I wanted to be her, man. Okay, paint me green. I want to be her and sing those songs, because her songs are just wow.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some great singers in that group, but that woman there, that woman, oh.
Well, and she looks...
Go ahead.
Go on. No, no. She was pretty amazing. That singer, by the way, she's from Wisconsin. And the young woman playing Glinda is from Texas, you know, Galinda, you know, it's just so funny.
Yeah, she was hilarious.
She was hilarious. It's interesting because they have this kind of great friendship together, but Elphaba is the one, or she calls her Elfie.
Right.
But, you know, there are a couple of things that stood out to me on seeing it for this number of times. One is, and the name Elfie suggested it to me. There were a couple of moments when I thought, oh, this is a song from Dreamgirls. And it's just,
oh, wow.
You know, it's like, and I'm telling you, right? It's just a little quote here, little quote there. And then other things that I was like, oh, yeah, and that's, you know, the Shakespeare over there. And this is this and this is that. So they have some fun with that stuff, and it makes it interesting because it's just layering and why this show is able to come back so many times and to stay on the road for such a long time, you know?
So do you know if, I remember when the Orpheum or Hennepin Theater Trust was really inviting children who couldn't afford to come for you know, a long time. And I remember I think it was Little Mermaid or one of those that was at the Orpheum. And they used to really bring in a lot of these children who just their parents could not afford the ticket. I'm wondering if they're still doing that. Were there children there that opening night just the other day? And wondering if they actually brought in more children to see this particular piece, because it deals with DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, right?
It
really does. And this is the time
for
and this is the time for us to talk about it as much as possible. What would you add to the DEI perspective of Wicked?
Well, I mean, the whole thing is about that. I mean, you have someone who has a lot of strength, a lot of powers, but she is different. She's, you know, so she's not popular. And therefore, what happens is she's able, she's an outcast, and we learn about the Wicked Witch of the West in the Wizard of Oz. I mean, the thing is so clever because it creates a backstory. That, you know, you don't know what you think you know, and
right.
The person you think is a villain is not a villain. The person you think is a scapegoat is a scapegoat only because of a corrupt system. And so it's about insiders and outsiders. It's about so much, and it's so well done. And everyone wants to be on the side of the underdog, on the side of the outcast. And of course, she is quite beautiful in the show. I mean, her songs, as you say, are the songs of the show. You know,
right.
they're about, I mean, defying gravity is like, I have to take off. I have to get away from here. I have to escape. I have to do everything I can for my life. And there are people, it's really funny because Fiero, the prince, is, a tall, handsome man, and he's pretty vacuous and
yes.
Vacant.
Yes,
but, but he actually helps him to get deeper in himself because he has genuine feelings for her, and he in turn like starts to think, which is so funny. There's that great moment in the show when he's like, "Oh, he has a thought. He can think."
Well, you know. There you go. We have run out of time. You and I need a half an hour. You do know this, right?
I know.
We're gonna have to. I will definitely be going to see more shows, and I want to hear your critiques on them. So I hope you'll be able to join us. Thank
Absolutely.
You so much.
Absolutely.
You take
Thanks
care of yourself, Rohan. All
okay.
right. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a break and then come back with Don Bentley, Executive Director of the Minnesota Fringe Festival. We'll be back. Welcome back to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. I'm excited to interview Don Bentley, Executive Director of the Minnesota Fringe Festival. This is the 29th annual Minnesota Fringe Festival, and it's taking place August 4th through the 14th. Don, it's great to have you back.
It's great to be back. It's been quite some time.
I know, right? Now, the largest performing arts festival in the Midwest is who you are. This is what you do. And you are going to feature over 800 artists and 595 performances of over 100 productions. Just trying to figure out those numbers and what that really means. How do you sleep? What do you worry about?
I worry about everything right now. But it's the first time we've been back in theaters in 3 years. And so we are so excited. Yeah, we're so excited to welcome the artists back to the stage, to welcome our audience back into the theaters, and to just celebrate the performing arts as no one else can do but Fringe.
You know, Fringe has been respected in this town for so many decades. I mean, for so long. And we love it, right? This is the 29th. This is a long stand right here in the great state of Minnesota. I'm just curious to know, what do other theaters talk to you about? Do they ever pick up your shows? Are they picking them up more often than they did?
Well, since we've had this unplanned intermission, we'll call it, with COVID, we haven't had any pickups lately. But it has not uncommon for shows to debut at Minnesota Fringe and then get picked up and extended into a full-length show. Our shows are very short. This year they're 50 minutes, so in less than an hour you can see something original crafted by a Minnesota artist or a touring artist that is coming to share their talents with our town. And then another theater may pick that up and make it into a full-length show. And that's happened several times over the course of Fringe.
Well, it's quite remarkable, and I know that people come back every year with a new idea, or they say, hey, can I present this again? Do you often see them come back and offer the same piece for the next year, or do you say, nope, you got to have something new?
Well, Fringe will never tell anybody what their show should be, but what we do is provide a platform. We're really a laboratory for experimentation for theater artists. So people come to us because they know that this is where they can try something new. Maybe it's a new genre. Maybe it's a new place that they've never performed before. Or maybe it's a new city they've never been to. But this is where they go. And our audiences are very loyal. And they do come back year after year. And they celebrate what they see on stage. And it could be anything from ballet, modern dance, clowning, juggling, a storyteller. It's really everything that you can imagine.
So how many people do you employ for the Fringe Festival, and how many volunteers do you have and do you need?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because we could always need more volunteers, and you can sign up through our website at minnesotafringe.org, because we take about 300 volunteers to run the Fringe, and then we hire between 80 and 100 seasonal staff members to help us, but the year-round staff is only three to four people.
So how do you pick them? Do you say, I'm going to go and see every one of these shows, or I'm going to talk to the people that wrote this and maybe they'll show me a clip of a video or something like that? What do you do? How does that work?
It's impossible to see every show at the Fringe Festival, so you really need to select. And the best way to do that is to go to our website, minnesotafringe.org, and check out the shows. Every show in our festival has an individual show page designed by the producer of the show. So they can tell you who's in the show, what the show is about, maybe more information about the background. But when you land on our website, you can actually sort by genre or content, or you can celebrate certain kinds of artists, first-time producers, first-time in the Fringe, BIPOC producers, LGBTQ. There's just all kinds of ways. Or even if you're just in a neighborhood, hey, I want to go to a show at this particular neighborhood or this particular theater because it's convenient to me, you can sort.
Are you there?
Yep.
I think we lost Don for just a moment. Are you there, Don?
No.
Okay, sorry, we couldn't hear you for a moment. Can you hear me? Okay, great.
Yeah.
Tell me about, you've got these volunteers signed up, of course, and that's wonderful if people want to go and be a volunteer, minnesotafringe.org. But what about the family pieces that you put together over the years, a list of places where people can bring their children and not have to worry about, you know, a lot of words that they don't need to hear or see something that could scare them. Do you have those type of shows this year as well?
Absolutely. When you go to our website, yes, absolutely. When you go to our website, you can select shows that are geared towards children and families that are kid-friendly, and there are plenty of shows to choose from, and they're happening over the course of 11 days, so hopefully you can find something that fits into your schedule.
Oh, I wish you could define for me kid-friendly. Because a lot of the movies you go in the movie theaters or you watch on Peacock, Disney, whatever, and I'm telling you, it's not for children. I'll go, wait a minute. Why is this, rated G? Or, well, you don't even see G anymore, but PG. You know, people let their children go see PG. So I'm just curious to know, have you ever had that problem where you had to run over to whatever performance it was and go, no, this is not a family one. Everyone move and go down the hall.
No,
has it ever happened?
That's not
no.
a problem. No, okay. That's not a problem. But we actually, the artist will actually say at what age it is appropriate for. So we have kid-friendly being like 2 to 7 years old or over 8 years old. So there's variations to kid-friendly.
And how many years have you been a part of this, Dawn? This has been
This has been my baby for 6 years.
6 years.
And I'm happy to be here.
What's the next step for you? Are you going to stick with it? And if so, are there any changes you are thinking about that you haven't presented just yet that you want to add to the Fringe?
Well, I think at this point, the most important thing is that Fringe stays stable after coming back from post-pandemic. And so that we have this platform for artists because we are an important contribution to the performing arts community. You know, mm-hmm. Minnesota Fringe has a $1.9 million economic impact, and we pay artists $250,000 a year to be in our festival. And that's really important, especially artists have had such a hard time over the past couple of years, and we just really want to stabilize the foundation and the bedrock of the arts community.
Well, well done. I'm just so grateful that it's back this year. And we want people to get out there. There's something for everyone at the Fringe. So don't forget that. Dawn Bentley, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We sure appreciate it. And I know that you're going to have a blast coming up August 4th through the 14th. You take care.
You too. Thank you.
All right, that was Dawn Bentley, Executive Director of the Minnesota Fringe Festival. Again, it's taking place August 4th through the 14th. You got to go online to minnesotafringe.org to find out where all of these theaters are. How do you get there? Where do you park? They have a lot of information online. All right, coming up next is Becky Schlegel, the Rochester-based folk bluegrass favorite, plays with the Minnesota Bluegrass Festival. That is coming up. We're going to talk about it. I had a chance to perform with her, so I'm really looking forward to having her on the show tonight. Stay tuned. It is now 9:41. Let's keep that going, Jonathan. It's so beautiful. We are interviewing Becky Schlegel tonight, the Rochester-based folk bluegrass favorite. She's playing the Minnesota Bluegrass Festival this year. And every time I hear her voice, it just calms me. You ever meet somebody like that, Jonathan, where it just calms you?
Well, I'm going to let her answer that. I'm going to let the guest answer that.
Becky, welcome. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Oh, thank you for that.
Oh, well, I so remember you. It's just beautiful. And you and I, we performed together once at the grand stage at the Minnesota get-together, right, at the state fair.
Yes.
That was so much fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It
and
was.
You're still doing it. I'm so happy that you are still doing it. You have a beautiful voice. So tell me what you've been up to, and then we'll talk about the Minnesota Bluegrass Festival.
Oh, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. every year I just keep plugging away, and I've been writing a lot of music. I put together a collection of folk art and music.
I loved it. I looked that up.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Yeah, very
well
fun.
Done.
The other really fun thing is that I've gotten an opportunity to collaborate with the High 48th Bluegrass Band. And we recorded Laramie, which you heard there, And I'm really excited to play the August Festival. I haven't played there in many, many years. And to be there with this configuration, super excited about it. Kenny Wilson is going to be there with us on steel guitar. And just kind of a dream come true to have that collaboration. So,
well, yeah, I tell you, you've been getting it done. Your voice is still just as pure as it was before. And I know one thing I knew about you the first time we met and worked together is that you really do love singing. You absolutely love to sing. Do I have that right?
I do. I sing. I mean, might be true for you, too. I just sing all day long. I don't even know I'm doing it.
Right.
People are like, you're still humming. Like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I actually sing to my grandchildren, and they'll sing back to me. And that's the best part, you know, just to be able to hear them singing constantly because they know I'm singing a lot. So that's a beautiful thing when we get a chance to sing for anybody. You know, I used to ask the question on during this hour many times, who is to tell us when we are done? Because we're never going to tell ourselves that we're done. How would you answer that question?
I don't want to ever be done.
I tell you, somebody's gonna have to force me to the back, man. They're gonna put me somewhere and just go lock the door. Don't let her out. I will be out singing for sure. So this full schedule and tickets and camping info is all available online for this Bluegrass Festival that you're doing. Tell me, what day are you performing, what time, and what can we expect from what you present?
We are performing on Thursday, August 11th, which is the first day of this fabulous spread. It goes from the 11th to Sunday, Thursday through Sunday. And we're playing on Thursday night at 7:30. And I think it's an hour set. I'm not quite sure. And then Friday morning, it's another kind of exciting thing. Tony Ehrig, the banjo player, and I, he's an award-winning songwriter, and myself are going to put on a songwriting showcase at 11. So that'll be Friday morning after our big set of music on Thursday night.
That's
so
fantastic.
Kind of have, you know, the kickoff night to perform. So I'm super excited. And I personally haven't played there since 2002. So this is like 20 years later being able to play there again. I'm just always admired that festival. It's an amazing event. So anybody who has the opportunity to go out and be part of that, they should. The band lineup is incredible. So good music
all weekend.
So
if people want more, forgive me for interrupting, but if people want more information, do they go to the Minnesota Bluegrass August Festival website?
It's minnesotabluegrass.org.
Okay.
And then one of the first things you'll see is the August Festival, and you just click on that, and everything you ever wanted to know about the festival is there. So minnesotabluegrass.org.
And do you have children? I think you... Do you have children?
Yes.
Can you hear me, Becky?
Yeah, I can. It's getting a little fuzzy. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So we have three boys. And, you know, they're getting older. They're in high school now. And so, you know, they're getting tired of me making up songs and walking around the house and singing about them out loud. And
tell them to get over it. It's their inheritance. Come on.
Yeah. So I'm hoping, you know, any day that maybe they'll pick up a fiddle or a banjo and maybe that'll happen. But right now, it's all about baseball.
There you go. So then what can we expect from you now that you're going to be there on August 11th and August 12th, again at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, August 11th, and on Friday morning, August 12th, at 11 a.m. for the songwriting workshop. So the concert on Thursday and the songwriting workshop. And, of course, that's always good for so many musicians that don't quite know how those songwriting workshops work, but they do work well. So I just wish you well with this, Becky. I hope that we can share our voices together again. It was really special singing with you on the stage at the state fair.
Oh my God.
So
here. Same here. You're so amazing.
Thank you, Becky. I'm so sorry we're having problems with technology, but just know I am so happy to hear your voice. You take care of yourself, okay?
Thank you very much. You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That is Becky Schlegel. If you've never met her, she is absolutely adorable, kind, gentle woman. And again, the Rochester-based folk bluegrass favorites are playing the Minnesota Bluegrass Festival. And that starts on Thursday, August 11 at 7:30 p.m. on the main stage. We're going to take a break and come back with my last guest, Gary Hines, the leader of the Sounds of Blackness, three-time Grammy Award winners. We'll be back. Those are the beautiful sounds of the Sounds of Blackness, three-time Grammy Award winners that came to be right here in the great state of Minnesota. And joining us to talk about their brand new title release that you're listening to right now is Gary Hines, the leader of the award-winning Sounds of Blackness. Hey, Gary, how are you, King?
I am always better when I talk to you, Queen.
You know, I smile every time. I'm amazed at how prolific you are in your writing and, you know, constantly going forward with this incredible group. Sometimes I see some of the originals come back. Sometimes we see those that were a part of it 10 years ago come back. And you always have a group for the Sounds of Blackness that are excited to be a part of it, to know that they are with these singers who have been with you for a very long time. What does it feel like for you, knowing that you've worked so hard during these years, over the decades, with this particular group? How does that feel?
Well, Queen Carolyn, it's very humbling and gratifying at once. And it manifests itself in a correction that I need to make for you and for all your listeners. Hold Up Your Light, our brand new single, just released Friday, and thank you for playing that snippet of it a moment ago. That prolific song was not written by Gary Hines, but by one of Sounds of Blackness' own, none other than Carrie Harrington, written and produced.
Oh, Carrie wrote that. Bravo.
Yes.
Amazing. And that's a beautiful thing. They have, they get a chance to write, and giving them those opportunities is a really big deal. So the song is absolutely beautiful. Tell us the story behind it.
Well, really, again, that's Carrie's story. And she started, Geraldine, on this almost about a year ago. Just the state of the world, everything that's going on nationally, internationally, locally. And in speaking with her about it and interviewing with her about it a couple of times now, she's talked about, the need for light and the inner light within us that we all have if we acknowledge it and use it for good and let it shine to help one another. And so she put pen to paper and recorded over at Hideaway Studios. And Joe Mabbitt, our amazing engineer on this, did a wonderful job. And we put together a lyric video. You know Carl Diemer, our good friend and brother. He did a job.
Love
we
him.
Have a lyric video of Hold Up Your Light that's available on YouTube now that all your listeners can go and see.
So, Gary, then what? Now that people, it's out there for everyone to hear, do you have to get it on some Apple or, YouTube? Or where do they go to get the song, to download it? Is it free right now or is it somewhere else?
I'm so glad you asked. It is available everywhere for purchase, everywhere from Spotify to iTunes to Amazon. It's available on all platforms.
It is now 9:41. Let's keep that going, Jonathan. It's so beautiful. We are interviewing Becky Schlegel tonight, the Rochester-based folk bluegrass favorite. She's playing the Minnesota Bluegrass Festival this year. And every time I hear her voice, it just calms me. You ever meet somebody like that, Jonathan, where it just calms you?
I'm going to let her answer that. I'm going to let the guest answer that.
Becky, welcome. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Oh, thank you for that. Oh,
well, I so remember you. It's just beautiful. And you and I, we performed together once at the grand stage at the Minnesota get together, right? At the state fair.
Yes.
That was so much fun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you're still doing it. I'm so happy that you are still doing it. You have a beautiful voice. So tell me what you've been up to, and then we'll talk about the Minnesota Bluegrass Festival.
Oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. every year I just keep plugging away, and I've been writing a lot of music. I put together a collection of folk art and music.
I loved it. I looked that up.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Yeah, very
well
fun.
Done.
The other really fun thing is that I've gotten an opportunity to collaborate with the High 48th Bluegrass Band. And we recorded Laramie, which you heard there. And I'm really excited to play the August Festival. I haven't played there in many, many years. And to be there with this configuration, super excited about it. Kenny Wilson is going to be there with us on steel guitar. And just kind of a dream come true to have that collaboration. So,
well, I tell you, you've been getting it done. Your voice is still just as pure as it was before. And I know one thing I knew about you the first time we met and worked together is that you really do love singing. You absolutely love to sing. Do I have that right?
I do. I do. I sing. I mean, might be true for you, too. I just sing all day long. I don't even know I'm doing it.
Right.
Like, you're still humming. Like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I actually sing to my grandchildren, and they'll sing back to me. And that's the best part, you know, just to be able to hear them singing constantly because they know I'm singing a lot. So that's a beautiful thing when we get a chance to sing for anybody. You know, I used to ask the question on during this hour many times, who is to tell us when we are done? Because we're never going to tell ourselves that we're done. How would you answer that question?
I don't want to ever be done.
I tell you, somebody's gonna have to force me to the back, man. They're gonna put me somewhere and go just go lock the door. Don't let her out. I will be out singing for sure. So this full schedule and tickets and camping info is all available online for this Bluegrass Festival that you're doing. Tell me, what day are you performing? What time? And what can we expect from what you present?
We are performing on Thursday, August 11th, which is the first day of this fabulous spread. It goes from the 11th to Sunday, Thursday through Sunday. And we're playing on Thursday night at 7:30. And I think it's an hour set. I'm not quite sure. And then Friday morning, it's another kind of exciting thing. Tony Ehrig, the banjo player, and I, he's an award-winning songwriter, and myself are going to put on a songwriting showcase at 11. So that'll be Friday morning after our big set of music on Thursday night.
That's
so
fantastic.
Kind of have, you know, the kickoff night to perform. So I'm super excited. And I personally haven't played there since 2002. So this is like 20 years later being able to play there again. And just always admired that festival. It's just, it's an amazing event. So anybody who has the opportunity to go out and be part of that, they should. The band lineup is incredible. So good music
all weekend. If people want more, forgive me for interrupting, but if people want more information, do they go to the Minnesota Bluegrass August Festival website?
It's minnesotabluegrass.org.
Okay.
And then like one of the first things you'll see is the August Festival, and you just click on that, and everything you ever wanted to know about the festival is there. So minnesotabluegrass.org.
And do you have children? I think you... Do you have children?
Yes.
Can you hear
Lloyd.
Me, Becky?
Yeah, I can. It's getting a little fuzzy. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So we have three boys. And, you know, they're getting older. They're in high school now. And so, you know, they're getting tired of me making up songs and walking around the house and singing about them out loud. And
tell them to get over it. It's their inheritance. Come on.
So I'm hoping, you know, any day that maybe they'll pick up a fiddle or a banjo and maybe that'll happen. But right now, it's all about baseball.
There you go. There you go. So then what can we expect from you now that you're going to be there on August 11th and August 12th, again at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, August 11th, and on Friday morning, August 12th, at 11 a.m. for the songwriting workshop. So the concert on Thursday and the songwriting workshop. And, of course, that's always good for so many musicians that don't quite know how those songwriting workshops work, but they do work well. So I just wish you well with this, Becky. I hope that we can share our voices together again. It's just, it was really special singing with you on the stage at the State Fair.
Oh my gosh, same here. You're so amazing.
Thank you, Becky. I'm so sorry we're having problems with technology, but just know I am so happy to hear your voice. You take care of yourself, okay?
Thank you very much. You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That is Becky Schlegel. If you've never met her, she is absolutely adorable, kind, gentle woman. And again, the Rochester-based folk bluegrass favorites are playing the Minnesota Bluegrass Festival. And that starts on Thursday, August 11 at 7:30 p.m. on the main stage. We're going to take a break and come back with my last guest, Gary Hines, the leader of the Sounds of Blackness, three-time Grammy Award winners. We'll be back. Those are the beautiful sounds of the Sounds of Blackness, three-time Grammy Award winners that came to be right here in the great state of Minnesota. And joining us to talk about their brand new title release that you're listening to right now is Gary Hines, the leader of the award-winning Sounds of Blackness. Hey, Gary, how are you, King?
I am always better when I talk to you, Queen.
You know, I smile every time. I'm amazed at how prolific you are in your writing and, you know, constantly going forward with this incredible group. Sometimes I see some of the originals come back. Sometimes we see those that were a part of it 10 years ago come back. And you always have a group for the Sounds of Blackness that are excited to be a part of it, to know that they are with these singers who have been with you for a very long time. What does it feel like for you, knowing that you've worked so hard during these years, over the decades, with this particular group? How does that feel?
Well, Queen Sherilyn, it's very humbling and gratifying at once, and it manifests itself in a correction that I need to make for you and for all your listeners. Hold Up Your Light, our brand new single, just released Friday, and thank you for playing that snippet of it a moment ago. That prolific song was not written by Gary Hines, but by one of Sounds of Blackness' own, none other than Kerry Harrington, written and produced.
Oh, Kerry wrote that. Bravo.
Yes.
Amazing. And that's a beautiful thing. They have, they get a chance to write, and giving them those opportunities is a really big deal. So the song is absolutely beautiful. Tell us the story behind it.
Well, really, again, that's Carrie's story. And she started, Geraldine, on this almost about a year ago. Just the state of the world, everything that's going on nationally, internationally, locally. And speaking with her about it and interviewing with her about it a couple of times now, she's talked about, you know, the need for light and the inner light within us that we all have if we acknowledge it and use it for good and let it shine to help one another. And so she put pen to paper and recorded over at Hideaway Studios. And Joe Mabbitt, our amazing engineer on this, did a wonderful job. And we put together a lyric video. You know Carl Diemer, our good friend and brother. He did a job.
Love
we have him. A lyric video of Hold Up Your Light that's available on YouTube now that all your listeners can go and see.
So, Gary, then what? Now that people, it's out there for everyone to hear, do you have to get it on some Apple or, you know, YouTube? Or where do they go to get the song, to download it? Is it free right now or is it somewhere else?
I'm so glad you asked. It is available everywhere for purchase, everywhere from Spotify to iTunes to Amazon. It's available on all platforms. You know, and we've had great distribution on the record side from our good friend Scott Harold with HSRA at Rock the Cause. It's also available on Sounds of Blackness website, soundsofblackness.org, along with our merchandise that really has a lot of appeal for people. And you know what? We want everybody to know, speaking of that, when they purchase Sounds of Blackness, are these recent singles, including Hold Up Your Light, we don't just walk the talk, we talk the walk. And so we are donating a portion of proceeds going back all the way to our royalty song to the George Floyd Scholarship Foundation.
Wow, that is fantastic. I want you to say it one more time to make sure everyone had a chance to hear that. Go.
Oh, certainly. Whenever you go to soundsofblackness.org and purchase any Sounds of Blackness music or merchandise, we donate a portion of the proceeds, to the George Floyd Scholarship Foundation. So we're always about this community and about really putting the music to work in a tangible way. And that's one way that the public can help and support us in that effort, especially now with this amazing song that Carrie has written and produced, A Hold Up Your Light.
Hold Up Your Light. In fact, some of the lyrics, I believe, are Find Your Fire, Find Your Fight, Hold Up Your Light. I love that. So what are you hearing then from the music industry? Are you getting some play already? Tell me what that process is like.
Absolutely happy to, Queen Geraldine. The answer is yes. We just sent the record last week to radio, urban, gospel, pop, across the board, even on the international side. And the response is overwhelming across the board. They're loving the song. It's a fresh sound for Sounds of Blackness. You know, Carrie has her own unique style. She's a very prolific writer.
Okay, so stop for a minute. The bottom line is that I'll have you back on soon to tell me it's a big hit, and I can't wait for that.
Well, then we'll
Gary
have,
Hines,
we'll have Carrie with us as well.
That would be great. Carrie, congratulations on this song. It's so beautiful. Thank you for joining us tonight, Gary. Really love you, man. If people want more information about the Sounds of Blackness, just go to their website, or you can go and find Gary Dennis Hines on Facebook. All right, everyone, coming up next is our last hour, the Mom and Michael Hour. Stay tuned. Those are the beautiful sounds of the Sounds of Blackness, three-time Grammy Award winners that came to be right here in the great state of Minnesota, and joining us to talk about their brand new title release that you're listening to right now is Gary Hines, the leader of the award-winning Sounds of Blackness. Hey, Gary, how are you, King?
I am always better when I talk to you, Queen.
You know, I smile every time. I'm amazed at how prolific you are in your writing and, you know, constantly going forward with this incredible group. Sometimes I see some of the originals come back. Sometimes we see those that were a part of it 10 years ago come back. And you always have a group for the Sounds of Blackness that are excited to be a part of it, to know that they are with these singers who have been with you for a very long time. What does it feel like for you, knowing that you've worked so hard during these years, over the decades, with this particular group? How does that feel?
Well, Queen Geraldine, it's very humbling and gratifying at once, and it manifests itself in a correction that I need to make for you and for all your listeners. Hold Up Your Light, our brand new single, just released Friday, and thank you for playing that snippet of it a moment ago. That prolific song was not written by Gary Hines, but by one of Sounds of Blackness' own, none other than Carrie Harrington, written and produced.
Oh, Carrie wrote that. Bravo.
Yeah.
Amazing. And that's a beautiful thing. They have, yeah, they get a chance to write, and giving them those opportunities is a really big deal. So the song is absolutely beautiful. Tell us the story behind it.
Well, really, again, that's Carrie's story. And she started, Geraldine, on this almost about a year ago. Just the state of the world, everything that's going on nationally, internationally, locally. And speaking with her about it and interviewing with her about it a couple of times now, she's talked about, you know, the need for light and the inner light within us that we all have if we acknowledge it and use it for good and let it shine to help one another. And so she put pen to paper and recorded over at Hideaway Studios. And Joe Mabbitt, our amazing engineer on this, did a wonderful job. And we put together a lyric video. You know Carl Diemer, our good friend and brother. He did a job.
Love
we have him. A lyric video of Hold Up Your Light that's available on YouTube now that all your listeners can go and see.
So, Gary, then what? Now that people, it's out there for everyone to hear, do you have to get it on some Apple or, you know, YouTube? Or where do they go to get the song, to download it? Is it free right now, or is it somewhere else?
I'm so glad you asked. It is available everywhere for purchase, everywhere from Spotify to iTunes to Amazon. It's available on all platforms. You know, and we've had great distribution on the record side from our good friend Scott Harold with HSRA at Rock the Cause. It's also available on Sounds of Blackness website, soundsofblackness.org, along with our merchandise that really has a lot of appeal for people. And you know what? We want everybody to know, speaking of that, when they purchase Sounds of Blackness, are these recent singles, including Hold Up Your Light, we don't just walk the talk, we talk the walk. And so we are donating a portion of proceeds going back all the way to our royalty song to the George Floyd Scholarship Foundation.
Wow, that is fantastic. I want you to say it one more time to make sure everyone had a chance to hear that. Go.
Oh, certainly. Whenever you go to soundsofblackness.org and purchase any Sounds of Blackness music or merchandise, we donate a portion of the proceeds, to the George Floyd Scholarship Foundation. So we're always about this community and about really putting the music to work in a tangible way. And that's one way that the public can help and support us in that effort, especially now with this amazing song that Carrie has written and produced, Hold Up Your Light.
Hold Up Your Light. In fact, some of the lyrics, I believe, are Find Your Fire, Find Your Fight, Hold Up Your Light. I love that. So what are you hearing then from the music industry? Are you getting some play already? Tell me what that process is like.
Absolutely. Happy to, Queen Geraldine. The answer is yes. We just sent the record last week to radio, urban, gospel, pop, across the board, even on the international side. And the response is overwhelming across the board. They're loving the song. It's a fresh sound for Sounds of Blackness. You know, Carrie has her own unique style. She's a very prolific writer.
Okay, so stop for a minute. The bottom line is that I'll have you back on soon to tell me it's a big hit, and I can't wait for that.
we'll have Carrie with us as well.
That would be great. Carrie, congratulations on this song. It's so beautiful. Thank you for joining us tonight, Gary. Really love you, man. If people want more information about the Sounds of Blackness, just go to their website, or you can go and find Gary Dennis Hines on Facebook. All right, everyone, coming up next is our last hour, the Mom and Michael Hour. Stay tuned.